And the Holy Ghost left him, and that body that was on the cross at that point was just a body until he came back in the resurrected stage. You, my brothers and sisters, today have the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had, that raised him from death to life. And if he is in us, then we have the same power available that he had. At 30 years old, as he walked the earth, it came a point when he was baptized that said the Spirit of God fell upon Jesus. And for the next 3 years, signs and wonders followed his ministry as the Holy Spirit filled him and he operated from there on. And that's why he said it's important that we have that same Holy Ghost. So you're in Luke chapter 23. We're looking at the end of the journey here of Jesus before he's getting ready to leave the cross. And I wanted you to see something. If you've got the red letter edition where Jesus is actually speaking, I'm going to begin with the very verse 34. And Jesus cries out with a loud voice. And he says this to all those hundreds, maybe thousands, that were at Golgotha, at that place where he was being crucified. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Right then, on the cross, one of his last statements to those around, he not only forgave them, but in forgiving them and saying that they don't know what they're doing, they didn't have to reap all the junk that they had deposited before then because Jesus freed them. And then he goes on after that happened, and you need to understand this. There are two criminals on both sides, one on each side of Jesus. He's already cried out with a loud voice that they're freed. And one of the criminals didn't want to receive that gift and began to curse Jesus and tell him, "Why don't you come off the cross? What's the matter with you?" Didn't want to receive that message of forgiveness. On the other side was another criminal that received that message and told Jesus to remember me when you come into your kingdom. And of course, Jesus' famous, one of his last statements was, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Amen. Paradise is a garden place. It refers to the state of blessedness passing from death to life. When Jesus left the cross and the Holy Ghost took him and his spirit down into Sheol to preach the first deliverance message to all, there was that criminal that had given his forgiveness decree to Jesus, that Jesus promised that today he would be in paradise. And it says he led captivity captive, as all those pre-Jesus had an opportunity to make Jesus Christ their Lord. They went from death to life. Today, hundreds of years later, that same Holy Ghost that lives in us is reminding us what Jesus is all about, who he is, and what he's given us. And there's something powerful about understanding forgiveness and not only receiving it for ourselves, but be able to give it to others. Exactly. This is the high level of walk that God is trying to get the body of Christ, not just for you to get the benefits of forgiveness, but for us to give that benefit away. Amen. And that's the challenge to you today. It's not just get forgiven, which if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, you're forgiven, but to realize you got the power within you now to forgive others. Amen. And set them free in Jesus' name. And we see in verse 46, he says, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And so the Holy Ghost and his spirit left his body. But that same Holy Ghost that would soon raise him from the dead is what we're talking about today. We celebrate he is risen. But he is risen and so have we. Because the Bible says if we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, we are situated with him in heavenly places. Amen? So today as Jesus is at the right hand, we're situated with him in heavenly places. Let's go to those transitional scriptures of the gospel. We noted in Matthew chapter 6, the disciples say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And so he laid out, and we coin now, we call it the Lord's Prayer. But part of the very significance of that prayer, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or yours may say trespasses, as we forgive our trespassers. In other words, part of the power that the Lord wanted to train them up even before he went to the cross, that they would understand how important it is to walk in forgiveness towards others. We know in the old gospel, the old covenant, we know in the transition, we know that we reap what we sow. Amen? Unless something supernatural comes along and frees us from having to reap what we've sown. Amen. Jesus was that gift to the body of Christ. And when we make him Lord of our lives, he forgives us of all our sins, past, present, and future sins. He's not going back on the cross. It's done. And the Holy Ghost then comes into our lives and reminds us that we're righteous, that we're holy, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. And that's why we stand whole and pure. Not perfect. We're still working out our minds to understand what Jesus did. Mark chapter 11, 25 says, when you stand praying, he's still teaching his disciples. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And then it goes on, so that your heavenly Father will forgive you of your trespasses. Now you need to remember, we're not yet in the new covenant. So we're still going to reap what we sow. So you say, well, I thought they were already forgiven. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. So he's telling them this principle will help you operate in life. You don't want to reap more than you need to. So learn how to forgive. Learn how to not let others dwell in that terrible spot. In Matthew chapter 18, and you can turn to it, but I'm not going to this morning. Peter comes to Jesus, again, with a message of forgiveness. And he says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive someone that's offended me? And Peter says, seven times? Peter's thinking, wow, seven times, that's a lot. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus gave him a number that they probably would never get to the end of, 490. That's a lot of times. Jesus knew how powerful forgiveness was, and that's why he laid it out. You have to make it a way of life. I tell relationships, husbands and wives, learn to be the first to say you're sorry. Forgiveness is a healing mechanism. When you forgive, it's healing to you. And we all need that power from within. So that healing that we get comes from when we forgive. And that's why Jesus was so strong in purposing to tell us that. But you are here today because I want us to go to that next level where we're used to free others. Amen? Go with me, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 20. This could be included in the new covenant because it's after Jesus has arisen from the dead. He's been seen by the disciples. And I'm going to pick it up at about verse 19 of chapter 20 of John. My category says he commissions his disciples. In other words, he's ready to send them out because they're already believers. They're born again because they already know he was raised from the dead. They believe in him. And he says this, that same day evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands, his side. Then the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again to them, and this is the level that I believe the body of Christ needs to get to. Jesus says in red, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I'm also sending you. How many believe that the Lord has commissioned all believers to be sent ones? And then he says this, if you forgive sins of any, they will be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Look at me. We walk in forgiveness for ourselves. I've heard the saying that somebody that won't walk in forgiveness, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It doesn't work that forgiveness is for us. But when we come to this place and we're endued with the Holy Ghost, and at this point the Holy Ghost now has been a part of their life because he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Ghost, and now he commissions them, they have the ability to forgive others. You see, Jesus forgave us all, and then we are part of his body. He wants us to be used to forgive others that would come against us. You know, Jesus, when he taught, one of the signs of his coming back, he says most people will be offended. Do you know what takes out more believers than anything is offending one another? More people get sick, more people get distressed because they've been offended. Not by the world, but by the church. And the Lord knew that, and that's why he wanted a glorified church to come back to. So he teaches us not only to forgive, but to let the Lord not have to have them reap what they got coming. Let me give you the first real clear illustration of this in the New Covenant, Acts chapter 7. We learn about Stephen. Stephen, we know, was chosen with a group of others to help because the church was growing so fast. And so we know that it said that they picked out those that are full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe most of you are full of the Holy Ghost, so that would pertain to you. And this is what transpired. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 51 of chapter 7 of the book of Acts. We're in the new covenant now. Remember, Jesus gave us the ability to forgive others. He gave us the ability to free others. Remember, God will not be mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Unless we intervene and keep others from having to reap what they've sowed. See, the body, sometimes you get hurt. You say, oh my gosh, I forgive them, but I can't wait till God gives them their due reward. And because the scripture says they'll reap what they sow, they got it coming. But if we have the ability to say, Lord, I forgive them, and you don't even have to hold them accountable, the Lord washes their slate clean. What a peaceful place for the body of Christ to get to that place that they can walk in perfect peace with all the body of Christ. See, we're very keen here. We don't put down anybody, any Christian brother, no matter where their level of walk is. We're very quick. Many times I learned this teaching the Lord taught me because when we first started back 30 years ago, we got a lot of persecution of people saying things about Shield of Faith. You're too radical. You're outside the box. You know, we can't do this. And it had been a great opportunity to try to nitpick every one of those pastors that were saying that. But you know what we did? We said, Lord, we forgive them. And we ask that you don't even hold them accountable to that. Not only did we want to forgive them, but we don't want them to have to reap what they're sowing. Now look at what Stephen, keep it in light. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and I believe most of you are full of the Holy Ghost because you're saved. The Bible says this in verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. Look at me before we go any further. If there's an attack in the body of Christ, many people, what, the Holy Ghost? So we don't even know who the Holy Ghost is or haven't learned anything about the Holy Ghost. And here, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, is rebuking them. These are not the world. These are supposedly Jews that are supposed to be believers. And he says, you are stiff-necked. Your ears and hearts are closed. You're always resisting the Holy Spirit. You killed the prophets. You persecute them. Verse 54, here's that Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. I'd say that's some pretty upset brothers and sisters, wouldn't you say? They're biting on him with their teeth? I can only see the visual of that one. Do you know, I believe a lot of friendly fire, a lot of Christians bite and devour other Christians? Well, they don't do it like we do it, so they must be wrong. Instead of focusing on just keeping yourself straight. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened, Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. When he cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears, and they ran at him with one accord. Again, they don't want to hear about the Holy Ghost. And they cast him out of the city. They stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes. And if you don't have this underlined, you need to. And they laid their clothes, because they really wanted to wind up and throw those stones. They laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And we know Saul is going to eventually, in another chapter or two, is going to have a road to Damascus experience, and he's going to become who?
Paul.
Here he is. They're all laying it down, and he's all happy because this full of the Holy Ghost person is going to be stoned. And it says, they put these at Saul's feet. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And the last verse you need to underline. He knelt down and he cries out with a loud voice. How many know if you cry out with a loud voice, you want people to hear you?
Right.
He cries out with a loud voice, this man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, that's about to be stoned by others that should not be stiff-necked. They should be believers too, but they're closing their ears to the Holy Ghost, and they're about to stone somebody that's a lover of God, and this is what he cries out with a loud voice. He says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then he went to sleep. Paul did the high level. That's called the enhanced version of the Holy Ghost. It's not just getting yourself forgiven, but it's releasing forgiveness on all of those that were about to stone him to death. What a black eye we could give the enemy if we, the body of Christ, would learn how to not criticize other believers, but instead, if we hear them coming after us, we forgive them and ask the Lord, don't even lay it to their account. What a freedom. I can walk into any restaurant, any place. I can run into people I know that said that, and I can still be in love with them. You know why? Because I'm keeping my heart pure, and I'm the only one that I can change. You can't change anybody but yourself, but we can learn the power in forgiveness and begin to not only walk in forgiveness, but free others to not have to reap what they got coming.
Thank you, Lord.
And the enemy hates that. He wants us fighting each other. And the Lord says he's coming back for a glorified church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
This is what most Christians want. Turn to me to Romans chapter 12. Next book of the Bible. Paul reiterating to the Christians in Rome. He gives them this principle that they understand. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We know people will reap what they sow if somehow they don't get freed. And this is what he told those believers. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If they're thirsty, give them drink. For in doing so, you heap coals, I'm going to say Holy Ghost fire, on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
He goes on to Church of Galatia, some of you students in the class. Therefore, as you have opportunities, do good unto all believers, but especially those in the household of what?
Faith.
We're supposed to be above board. We're not only supposed to be doing good unto all, but especially other believers. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
You know, when you forgive somebody and you ask God, don't even hold them accountable for that, they don't have to reap that. The Lord taught me that. He says the bottom dimension of a Christian is just to forgive. Lord, I forgive them. They did me wrong. I forgive them. They hurt my feelings. I forgive them. That's the basic. To go up higher level, Lord, I forgive them, and I'm asking you, don't even hold them accountable for what they did.
Amen.
And he says, I've got to wash that clean. But see, most believers want them to get their due rewards. We got to change your thinking. Well, I'm not going to talk to them until they change. They're not the one you can change. You're the only one you can change. And we have to get better at forgiving and freeing others that hurt us. We got our home in heaven. We're celebrating resurrection. Jesus is going to take us. We're going to spend eternity with him. One day is like 1,000 years. It's going to be fun, fun, fun. Why do we get so tripped up down here? Because the enemy knows a house divided cannot stand.
Good.
So if a house united can't fall, we've got to learn how to unite ourselves with believers. I don't care if people don't speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues don't get you to heaven. Making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life gets you to heaven.
Yeah.
Prophesying don't get you to heaven. prophesying, speaking in tongues are all things that help us now on earth, but that doesn't make us get to heaven. It's making Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. I just want life down here to have more tools to operate in a fuller dimension. That's why we use these gifts that the Holy Ghost releases out of our lives. So go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you another example of it being demonstrated to a very carnal church called Corinth. Corinthian Christians, Second Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin at verse 3. And my little caption says, "Forgive the offender." And I wrote this very thing to you. Test when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. In other words, he's talking about believers. He should have joy over. But they're doing some stupid stuff. Having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, and not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I so abundantly have for you. We should be known. The Bible says the world's going to know us by the what? The love we have one for another. That's the whole heartbeat of Christendom, is to be known by the love we have one for another. So Paul goes on and says this, "But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent have done it to me, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man." In other words, this person had heard it, and it was sufficient. "So that on the contrary, you ought to rather forgive and comfort them." He's given them directions. They've already taken enough heat. You need to implement and forgive them and comfort them. "Lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to them. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to a test, whether you are obedient to all things." This is a test. Can you forgive and free people from their offenses towards you, or do we want to keep carrying them and keep getting sick and keep getting depressed because we're carrying something we don't need to carry? We need the freedom. The Lord set us free. We're free indeed. We need to help others get free. "For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us." He's referring to himself too. Folks, we got to forgive and forget and get on for the benefit of us. "For we are not ignorant of the schemes of the enemy." There's a real enemy. He's not toothless. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He should have no rights to the body of Christ unless we give them to him. Because no weapon formed against us is supposed to prosper unless we give them the tools. If we walk in unforgiveness, it's not just walking in forgiveness, it's also freeing others. You think about it today. You might have forgiven somebody in your family. Sometimes the ones you love the most, you hurt the most. The ones that are closest to you are the ones that can normally hurt you the worst. That's why many times you'll see in the body of Christ, people get upset at something that happened in the church. They leave, you don't hear them anymore because they got hurt. So instead of stepping up to the plate and forgiving them and asking God don't lay it to their account, we stew in it. Or we may forgive them, but I can't wait till God catches up with them and they got to reap that. What a freedom we could have if we could just free people from having to reap what they did to us. See, the only one you have say over is you. I can only forgive people that have done me. If they're doing other people wrong, hopefully the body of Christ will do the same thing. Forgive them and lay it not to their account. "Lest Satan takes advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices." Come on, church. Some of you that have been in church life for a long time, you know you most often get offended by other Christians. We've got to get beyond that. we got to realize there's only one body of Christ. I don't care what the name of your building is. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, we're on the same team. Amen. You may worship a little bit different, but let me just give you this. Someone says, oh my gosh, I can't imagine being in heaven worshiping all the time. It's because you don't have the right context. We didn't say praising all the time. Worship is an attitude of your heart. Worship means when you're up there having a good time, maybe you're fishing or doing whatever you're doing, that's an attitude of worship.
Amen.
Loving on one another and enjoying the beauty of what God's created, that's worship. It's not like you're going to stand there the whole time praising and doing nothing else. There will be praise, there's no doubt. But worship is an attitude of our heart. And it's going to be beautiful because we're going to get along with one another and it's going to be forever. Why not start enjoying it here? Remember when Stephen shouts out with a loud voice? Go to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to close with this scripture this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remember Saul was in the audience? Remember, he hasn't become Paul yet. But he heard Stephen with a loud voice before he bit the dust. He cries out, Lord, I forgive them, and don't lay it to their account. Oh my gosh, wow. And the Lord says, well, they don't have to reap that. They're going to stone you. You don't have to reap it. And guess who was in the crowd? Saul, thank God he didn't have to reap it because he had his own road to Damascus experience where he was blinded and he came up serving Jesus. It's amazing what happens when we walk in the principles of God, the power that's in forgiveness, that people can get saved just by the act of us forgiving people and freeing them from having to reap what they got coming. So here we are. Paul is training up young Timothy. And he says this, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. This was one of those, I'm going to say, bottom feeders that didn't want to come to the light. They want to stay in the darkness. There are those that will never change. They're anti-God. But you don't have to worry about it because you're not going to save anybody. That's up to him. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we've got responsibility to straighten them up so they don't have to stay in the miry clay. And this is what he says. He's warning these believers. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Now listen, at my first defense, here's Paul at his first defense, no one of you stood with me. In other words, he's telling you all didn't stand with me. All of you forsook me. May it not be charged against you. Amen. Paul was probably somewhere around the cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we all got forgiven of what we dealt with. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, nothing that we know that he was doing wrong. He was just sharing Jesus. He forgave him and asked the Lord, don't even hold him accountable. And what happens? Saul becomes Paul. And later on, everybody was against him of the body of Christ, whoever was around. He said, nobody stood with me. He says, may they not have to reap what they sow. Isn't that exciting when we can get to that place when we start using the principles that will help free others? It's one thing to get free ourselves. How about freeing others? And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know how rough it's been on me. You don't know how rough it is. Do you know when Jesus told the disciples, when Peter said how many times, he said 70 times 7? Do you know he went into a teaching then? And he talks about this person that owed 10,000 talents. And I've heard 10,000 talents was an unbelievable amount. You couldn't pay that back. And he fell on his knees, oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And the master said, you're forgiven. And then he goes on later, and it says somebody with 100 denarii, which they said it's like pocket change. And they grabbed a hold of them and put them in jail. I'm telling you, the one that forgave us of 10,000 talents was the guy that went to the cross. Exactly. And if we're now whatever we consider our little 100 denarii, and we're going to harbor that? And we're not going to free others when Jesus freed us from all of this? Wow! There is power in forgiveness. We have the tools to release that into others' lives that have come against us or hurt us. I don't care if they're saved or not. If they're family, you need to step up to the plate and free them. That may be the very thing that's going to free them to have a road to Damascus experience. I've been hurt, Pastor. You don't know what my ex did, or you don't know what my kids did. I don't know, but I don't need to know because he already knows. And that's why he's asking us to walk in forgiveness. That's why he's asking us not to hold them accountable for what they will have coming if we don't free them. It's the most freeing element I think I've ever had implement in my life was when I learned I don't have to harbor anybody. And when people say cruel things or pastors say stay away from Shield of Faith, they're out there, they're too radical, that's not right. I can say, Lord, that's my brother or my sister. I forgive them. And Lord, I don't want them to have to reap what they're sowing towards this ministry. And some of you that come to our daily prayer, we pray every day from 12 to 1. In the other room, we pray for you all that call this your regular house of worship. We are regularly will stop and say, Lord, if anybody out there in Christendom, in this community, if they spoke junk towards us or anybody here, Lord, we forgive them. And Lord, we ask that you don't hold them accountable for that. It makes you smile, you feel good. Unless the Lord build the house, you're only going to labor in vain. So I don't want to try to build. I'm going to let him build through our life, our actions, and what we release. Amen? So I want you to do this as we get ready to close this morning. I'm going to ask those that are viewing to think about it. Are you harboring unforgiveness? Or maybe you've forgiven somebody, but you've not freed them to have to reap that in their own lives. Or maybe they're already reaping it, and you're kind of smiling, getting a good smile out of that. The Lord says we need to grow up. Maybe you can't forgive yourself. Maybe you beat yourself up. You can forgive others, but you can't forgive yourself because, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done and what I've been involved in. I don't. He does, and you've already been forgiven. And the Holy Ghost says his reason to remind you, you are righteous and you are mighty men and women of God. You are not the scum of the earth, and if you're feeling condemnation, that's not from him. So, Father God, I do lift up every life. I thank you for those that are tuning in. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal any areas in their life that they're harboring unforgiveness. I pray, Father God, that you will strengthen them because greater is the force of you in them than that's what's in the world. And they will forgive whatever the offenses are. And, Lord, they'll free that person. If it's in a relationship, they'll forgive them. They'll not keep beating them up on something they might have done years ago, but they'll free them and they'll lay it not to their account. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that even today, and even though I know not everybody that's here, I thank you that if there's anyone that's come today, the greatest gift of forgiveness you can get is when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if you've not done that, it's not like jumping through a bunch of hoops. In the heart, you say, Jesus, I'm tired of doing it on my own. I need you to come in and be the Lord of my life. Yeah, this is Resurrection Sunday, but I want to go every day of my life and walk in power and freedom. So Jesus, I invite you in, come into my life, and be Lord of my life. And thank you, as you become my Lord, that you give me the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, help me, encourage me, show me how I can fall deeper in love with Jesus. Show me how I can know my Savior even greater. And I give you the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all of us said, amen. Amen. Let's believe this will be the greatest Resurrection Sunday we've encountered to this point. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you all for coming. And enjoy the egg dash now.